Hello and welcome to OTP Volunteer Table. I'm Don Kewelhorn. At the Playhouse, I'm going to hazard that everybody has a nickname of some sort. There are some nicknames that the person never hears, and then there are some nicknames that we actually call people by that nickname. One of those individuals is Lil Bit, L-I-L hyphen, no, L-I-L apostrophe, B-I-T, Lil Bit. Little Bit is one of the sounds that it is close to. Elizabeth Stewart is the person in question, and we never call her anything more than Little Bit. I guess we got to find out why. So here's a chat with Lil Bit Elizabeth Stewart.
Okay.
Now that we know that.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. So, Elizabeth Lil Bit Stewart, thank you so much for giving us some time for this chat. I guess the question is, how'd you get Lil Bit? Why are we calling you Lil Bit instead of Liz, Peg, or...
No Liz.
Okay.
Please, no Liz. Well, there was just some discrepancy in where the nickname Lil Bit came from. If it originated from Michelle Perez, Dungeon, or if it was Phil Murphy. Phil claims it, but I have to go back some years, and I really think it was Michelle. And we became good friends during Assassins, which was the first show that I was actually in here. But
okay, so we have how did you get here? How did you come to the Playhouse?
Well, I had done theater. I got suckered into theater when I was in high school and fell in love with it. And college didn't have huge theater. It had a lot of Shakespeare stuff, which I love Shakespeare, but not a huge avid fan. But it was theater. And so before I moved up here, I was visiting, and my dad's like, oh, we should go and see a couple shows at the Old Town Playhouse. And I'm like, okay, sure, great. And I don't know which one it was that I saw first, if it was Damn Yankees or if it was Chicago, but I'm like, this place is awesome. It's like a step up from what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see it, the theater, have an actual home. And so when I moved up here, I definitely needed to find a job. So that was my main priority, because I knew once I'd start here, I wouldn't step away. So then I walked in during rehearsals for art and asked Nancy Sundstrom if there was anything I could do to help. And so she put me on book, and then closer to when performances were going to start, Gary's like, hey, you want to learn sound? And I'm like, I don't know anything about it, but sure, why not? And so I kind of have been here consistently for many, many years.
I don't, early on, I don't remember you performing. Were you mostly technical early on? I don't pay attention. I don't make myself aware of things, but I just, it shocked me that you were an actress.
I auditioned for, after art, I auditioned for Assassins, and I got put in the chorus, which was fantastic, because I'll take whatever.
Right.
Small role, there's no such thing. So anything to be on stage is great. And then even anything to help out if I can, because, you know, my love is for theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in Assassins, and then I started helping out Gary a lot with sound.
So maybe that's where I remember it.
Yeah.
Mostly that I've seen you in the sound booth doing sound, because what was the play that you were in, the dog play?
Sylvia,
yes. Now, maybe there was a role before that I record that you were lead, but you were astounding as a dog and as an actress playing a dog.
Yeah. And it's
Sylvia.
Weird. I don't know if I should take it as a compliment, but this was months after Sylvia had closed, and walking down the street, and somebody's like, hey, you were great in that role as a dog. And I'm like, I'm sure that's a compliment, but that could be taken the wrong way. But thank you.
Yeah, certainly. It just depends on how you want to perceive it.
Yes, I love it. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Right. So you have been backstage, and what have you done backstage? You've done sound. You've done properties?
I've helped with props. I've never been in charge of props. I've been given little props to make, which I love the challenge, and I think I've created a mess at my house from all of the little knickknacks and little things that I try and can't do and then can do, and then I want something better to make it easier to do. And the only thing that I can think of that I have not done is direct. I have not directed. I've assistant directed. I've done sound. I've done lights. I've worked backstage. I've stage managed. I've been on stage, and it's just, I'm waiting.
Waiting until it's your time.
Yeah.
Who's our little friend here, by the way?
That's my puppy.
Your puppy.
That's Jersey. He's cleaning the carpet.
He is out there making sure that it's all clean. No foodstuffs,
no
refuse.
No food. Yeah. We don't want mice here.
Yeah, we want to keep it clean, keep it, that's wonderful. Hi, little doggy. One of your claims to fame, which is really interesting, are your creations. You've created some very stunning little stage props, two of which scare the bejesus out of me every time I go upstairs. In order to get to the balcony, you have to go up the winding staircase, and halfway up there's a platform, and on the platform we have two chairs that we use for stage props that are royal chairs, high back king and queen chairs, and then there are two suits of armor.
Yep.
That, because there's a small nightlight on the thing, they just stand out, and I think, who's there? And then, so tell us the secret of the state of the armor, by the way.
Well, let's take it back some. So during Little Shop, with
Little Shop of Horrors,
we're at a house party. We, as in a lot of Playhouse people, at actually Deb and Bill Hershey's place out in Bel Air, and the cast of Little Shop was there, and the director Fred, and everyone was talking about how they were going to do the finale with the pod heads and pod, P-O-D, and they wanted to bring the scrim down and do projection. I myself enjoy theater and seeing the creativity, and I don't see much creativity in that. And so I was thinking of different ways that I could do this, and I'm like, I'll do it. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to do it. And so I was watching a couple YouTube videos, and there is a rental company that rents out these pod heads. And I'm like, nah, I think I can make those. So I watched the how-to video that they would send to theater companies that were renting their pod heads on how to operate these. And so I watched it over and over and over
now,
and over.
Now, pod head, what is that?
They're small little replicas of Audrey 2's.
Okay.
Which is what all of the characters turn into at the end of the show. And Kathy Verstrady was like, oh, you just show up, bring what you think you can do. And so I went down and I was talking to Phil Murphy and to Lars Kelto down in the audience, and I was kind of like bouncing off ideas, and Lars is like, just do it. Just, I know you can do it. And so I took up the challenge and I went home and I made the first one and brought it back and I said, this is what I've got. And Kathy asked me if I could make three more and how long it would take. I said, I don't know, but I will make three more before Tech Week. So I went home and I made the rest of them, and I think they turned out fantastic. And during the performances, Gary Bolton had come up to me and asked me if I could make some suits of armor. And I was kind of riding on an ego, like if I could do these pod heads, suits of armor.
Right.
This can't be hard. And so after he left, I looked at Haley and I'm like, how am I going to make these suits of armor? There is not a single YouTube video on how to make suits of armor out of cardboard.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic, because what you got, you should have taped it and put it out there, because it is just stunning.
Lots of cardboard, paper mache, hot glue.
So these are cardboard suits of armor that you sprayed silver and black. I mean, and coated, and they're everybody I know has to touch them. Oh. You got to go up. No, that's not cardboard. And then holy cow.
The sprinkler system ever goes off in this building, they're gone.
They're going to be little shards, little puddles there. What else have you made? You made some breakable star
panes of glass.
Star things for...
The plates for Silent Sky. That was fun. I knew that it could be done with sugar and water and melting it down. And I mean, it's a little bit more technical than that. It's very time consuming, but if you have patience, you can make it.
Right.
And I did that. I can't remember. There's so many little things. For Peter and the Starcatcher, made a couple trunks out of pallet wood and two ships, one of them that broke in half every show and went back together for the next show.
How did you do that? Was that a...
Magnets.
Magnets.
Magnets,
that would be
are
good.
A man's best friend.
Yes. It works out there. So when you're doing these properties, these props, you have training in this in some sort. You have an artistic background, yes? Not autistic, artistic, right?
No. Growing up, I didn't do really any art. I would sit up in my room and draw stuff. And then I went to college for commercial art, which is mostly on computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what started the whole making prop stuff is Ed Blackburn calling me, asking me to make a 12-foot long tail that somebody could move around for Shrek.
Oh, yes.
And I remember Jeff Kroger saying once that he likes to roam stores and he gets his ideas from that. So I was roaming the stores and I came up with the idea of those wooden snakes that kids have that if you hold out, they kind of wiggle and move around. Right. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a good concept. I think I'm going to do that. And then it's implementing it.
Yeah, well, implementation is always the tough thing. Always the challenge. So you have done that. Have you done anything else? You do costumes as well, right?
I do. I think Kathy puts me more towards the artistic part of things. Mm-hmm. She's never sent me home with any costumes to sew, really. Right. She saves the other things, the technical part of things, for
right.
me.
Right. And always good to have some fallback on technical stuff.
Yes.
All right, so you've done sound, you've done it all other than directing. Do you play instruments? Are you a vocalist?
Oh, I don't do that.
See?
But I have pretended to play a piano on stage.
Ah, well, all right.
I have done that.
If you have pretended. I hurt myself, and I can play the piano after I hurt myself, so... And, by the way, I could play the piano before. I mean, not good, but I can't
I
do any
thinking,
better with this now, this hurt.
I was thinking if I cut my finger with a saw, that maybe I would develop those
It doesn't work
skills.
That way.
Oh,
no,
I was hoping.
It doesn't work that way. Nice try. Yeah. So now let's go to the acting. When did you, your first role was in Assassins.
Assassins.
In the chorus.
Yep.
And that was a singing role. What do you sing?
Yeah.
What do you sing? Do you know? Do you have a clue what you sing?
Alto, even though I've been told soprano, but I sing better in the chorus.
I see.
I sing in the chorus.
You are a chorus member. You know, us lead singers have to have chorus behind
us.
You know, just like us actors have to have audience. So there it is. So what do you, after Assassins, what did you do?
Oh, dear. Oh, boy.
You got a...
Oh, I put my thinking cap on. I don't really remember, because there was Assassins, Diary of Anne Frank.
You were in that,
weren't
you?
Yeah, we were in it together.
We were in it together, of course.
Yes.
See, and I just don't add those. I just don't think of anybody. It's all about me.
It is all about you. Speaking of All About You, I helped on your show, MAME. Was that that wasn't your show.
No.
Carousel. That
right,
was your
Carousel
show.
Was my show.
I helped on that.
That was a good one, too. So
yep.
There's so many. Did you make one of the, I know Denny Don made one of the merry-go-round horses.
I didn't.
Oh.
That was before people knew about my hidden skills.
Your hidden skills. And then I saw you, and I remember, and I think Sylvia was the first, no! Night Mother.
Oh, yes.
Night Mother was the first one where I really was gobsmacked by, holy cow, you're an actress, too.
Yeah, yep.
That was a heady role. What made you want to do that?
Oh, man. Ugh.
For those who know, this is a... What is Night Mother about?
Night Mother is about a middle-aged woman that is struggling with continuing her life because she's pretty much accomplished everything that she can foresee herself accomplishing, and she also has health problems, and she feels like that's just the end of her road. And majority of the show, I do know, my role knew that by the end she was gonna do herself in.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother was doing everything to hold off on that end, because she right. knew it was gonna happen. And I auditioned for it, Phil. I crossed paths with him, and he asked me if I was gonna audition, and I told him I didn't know what the show was about. And he told me to watch the movie with Sissy Spacek. And I'm like, oh my God. When I was younger, people used to tell me I looked like Sissy Spacek. And especially in the movie Carrie, which kind of freaked me out. So I showed up to auditions, and I don't think anybody else showed up. But it doesn't necessarily mean anything,
right?
Because I've auditioned for shows, not get a role, see the cast list, and to be determined.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll get cast if you're the only one that shows up.
Right.
Unless it's a one-person show, it's just you have to go based off the vision that the director has.
Right.
And
if you can pull the role. That role is a tough role because it deals with suicide, mental illness, all sorts of stuff. And instead of Night Mother, it's Night Mother, like Good Night Mother. Mm-hmm. And when I first saw the title, I was wondering, Night Mother, what's that about?
Yeah.
And then when I understood what the title said,
it gives me goosebumps,
because
I just, the end and giving Mother a hug and saying Night Mother and running off to my room and shutting and locking the door. And it just goosebumps, because it happens.
Right,
It happens, and it's sad.
How do you handle that? How do you... You're in the role. You got to be the role,
mm-hmm.
because you got to say those words. That's what the words are supposed to be said. And we know that as actors, we're saying those words as real people. And so you're kind of suggesting that this is what should be done. How do you do that?
I did have somebody come up to me at an end of one of the performances and ask me if I was okay. And generally, I am a happy-go-lucky individual.
Mm-hmm.
So to take myself to that level, I literally, my shoulders were tight every single night because it's an intense role. You mm-hmm. can't just shake that off at the end of an hour and a half and walk home and be a happy-go-lucky. You have to shake it off or it starts to eat away at mm-hmm. you, and I didn't want that.
Right.
I am a happy person.
Right.
And I do have to, you have to get that out of your head.
Is there a catharsis on that? When doing that role, you're saying something about people who do things and stuff. Do you feel emptied afterwards, or have cleaned out something inside, or
no,
is it?
No, because I don't feel like I'm a sad kind of person.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the individuals that are watching that and can relate.
Right.
Because that is heartbreaking. Right. It's heartbreaking knowing that somebody has lost somebody mm-hmm. to suicide, and regardless if they knew that was the path that that person was going down, they always have that regret that yep. they couldn't have done more.
Done something. Let's get off this. Let's move on to Sylvia.
All right.
How do you get into that role? I mean, that...
I love comedy. Comedy, I've always heard that comedy is the hardest form of acting. I don't think it's hard at all. Part of it, they say it's because of the timing. The thing with that, and same with Night Mother, you have to be in tune with the individuals you're sharing that stage with
mm-hmm.
because that's where the timing comes in. And there were times that I didn't have a line, or I had a line that I couldn't deliver because the timing wasn't right. And I hated dropping that line, but you can't force it. There's no,
right.
You just don't force it. You have to just go with it.
Right. Do you have a favorite role you've played? Is Sylvia the dead, or do you got something else?
No, because Diary of Anne Frank was probably it. Before I did Sylvia, Diary of Anne Frank was my favorite role mm-hmm. to play, and it was because I was able to portray history, and I hope I did it accurately. I don't know.
Right.
But I hope that I didn't shortchange anybody by playing that role. But Sylvia, kind of, I don't want to say I was typecast, because that's not the right word to be typecast as a dog.
No, it's not.
But being goofy and off the wall and having a lot of energy really fit that role for me.
Well, and that's not typecasting. That's using resources. You know, if you know somebody who can fit that role with their natural energy, bring it. That's mm-hmm. what you're going for. Typecasting would be if you had a longer nose and you slobbered. Then we'd say, oh, nah, that's typecasting.
I think I did sniff crotches better than anybody else at audition.
Yeah, well, let's move on. All right, moving right along.
Moving on.
Anything else that you've done? I didn't look in the archive to see if I could find anything. What was your last production?
Silent Sky.
But you were on stage for that.
This is where I get so emotional because we didn't have closure. And Kathy Verstrady makes fun of me every single time. Like for the first couple months that we were allowed to come back into the building, she would ask me to go up into the costume room and I would come back down crying. And she's like, I'm not going to send you up there anymore if you keep doing that. And I'm like, we need closure. There was no closure because we closed a week early.
That's right. We had COVID and we were shut down.
Yeah.
And everybody went home. That was a good play. That was a whole lot of fun. Some some really fine acting, some really cool stuff. And we learned
fun.
Something. We
oh,
learned
yeah.
a lot when Tom Zarni came in and gave us that physics lesson.
Fantastic. Yes.
That was just a great thing. All right, we got a minute left.
All right.
What keeps you at the playoffs?
The creativity. This is an amazing outlet for me. And I love that everybody welcomes me with open arms and accepts me for who I am. And there, it just is, it's home. It is home.
Super. Elizabeth Stewart. Elizabeth Stewart, a.k.a. Little Bit. I was, instead of doing the Elizabeth Little Bit, AKA, Elizabeth Stewart, a.k.a. Little Bit. Thanks so much for this chat.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Well, that's our chat with Elizabeth Little Bit Stewart. Thanks, Little Bit. For more nicknames at the Playhouse, you'll have to come and hang out at the Playhouse. Maybe you can get a moniker all your own. For the week of October 17th, this is closing week for Godspell. Get your tickets early and often for the Thursday, Friday, or closing night Saturday performances. Monday and Tuesday, October 18 and 19, we have auditions for Frozen. Now hold on a second before you plan your song selections. This is a young company production, and you must be twixt 9 and 17-ish. Frozen opens January 14th, 2022. My, how time flies, huh? 2022, wow. Altogether Now, a musical review, opens November 12th with Savannah Sipping Society following a week later on the 18th of November. We have a Christmas show coming in December, but let's get through November 1st, all right? OTP Volunteer Table is produced in association with the Old Town Playhouse of Traverse City, Michigan. If you have questions, concerns, would like to hear more about Little Bit or someone else, or would like to tell your own story, send an email off to office@oldtownplayhouse.com. Our music today is Talkies by Humma Humma. This is the OTP Volunteer Table. I am Don Kuhlhorn, and we will see you on the boards.